was the danger show.
The Carlo Kid goes 1-1 in Bama.
Kilkenny Island. He is Mick Basho.
Brennan connects with inside. 1-2, 10 to the legs from Brennan. The Basho looking to use reach here.
The bonus shot in the left half. That was quick from Bama Mahaney. But the left hand and right.
Rambling Rhinos podcast number 9.
9.
Yeah.
9.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're all together once again.
We are having a bone to pick before we start. Mick brought donuts for Mick, but didn't bring donuts
no,
for anybody
no.
else.
Mick was passing a certain place.
On the way here.
On the way.
Like we all had to do.
Well, no, I completely forgot about everybody else.
Found and Mick. He's gone. it is podcast number 9. We're all together. Mick Brennan is there on the left. I'm Ken McGuire on the couch. Miles Price is here. Andy Murphy is here. Left to right, very quickly, how are we? How are you doing, Mick?
All good, Ken. I can't complain. And if I do, no one will listen. So over to you, Andy.
Oh, to me? I thought you were going left to right.
That's okay.
I'm at the very right here. No, yeah, I'm all good. I'm just having a tuna roll here and my banana, and I got some great drilling done this morning, so I'm feeling good, yeah. Good to be back.
Miles?
Same as, like, got a bit of drilling done this morning. Feeling sharp. Looking forward to another funky podcast.
No tuna rolls.
Show up. No tuna rolls. Woo-woo. I'm tempted to get one, though.
Yeah. when we finished off podcast number 8 last time, we were heading to... we'll do our kind of eventy type recap thing.
Yes.
We had UFC Gdansk.
How do you pronounce that? Is there no G? Is it Dangst? Is
I
it Dangst?
I have no idea.
Or is it Gdansk?
Gdansk.
Gdansk. You have to do a chin movement to get it out.
Gdansk. And it's tough. Lobov and Philly.
That was a good fight for Philly.
Yeah, not so much for Lobov.
No, not really. I think that the problem with Lobov's game is that he's kind of stuck in that stalemate now where he hasn't really progressed skill-wise, I don't think. I think he's just a better version of his style that he's always had, but people have figured it out, and now there's too much, you know, he actually needs to change a couple of areas in his game in order to start beating these higher level of guys, like, you know, but from what I've heard, like, I think he's getting cut now, so.
Is he, actually?
Yeah, well, he is tough at him. Like, at the end of the day, there's guys in the UFC that are, you know what I mean, that shouldn't be in there, like, and I think Artem... He's an exciting fighter and he's very tough, like, you know what I mean? People do give him a hard time about not being up there at the level to be in there. But I think he gives himself a hard time about that as well. Like, at least he's in there and he's doing the job and he's fighting, like, you know. But I think that, you know, there is an argument to say that skill-wise and IQ-wise, he's not quite there anymore because guys are figuring him out and he hasn't move past to see the counter. No, well, he hasn't seen the counter of his counters. Like, he has to see himself in the eyes of his opponents. Like, how would they beat me? I think he needs to ask that question a bit more.
If I was
more,
up
you know?
Against me, how would I beat me?
Yeah, he needs to ask that. He needs to ask that question a bit more. I think.
I think I called it. I said 3-round decision. Philly, that's what I saw.
Yeah. Oh yeah, oh yeah.
I think people have kind of figured him out because you can't necessarily stand and bang with Artem because if he does catch you, obviously he's got a bit of power there.
Very
so,
awkward, yeah.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? So I think Philly had a kind of a good game plan on that fight. Like, he used his range well, kept the distance a bit, and obviously the head kick dropped and then as well. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's a tricky one because Artem's been with Cubs once and he went the distance with him, but he did take a lot of punishment in both those ass fights.
I know, but he was outclassed by Swanson, in fairness. He toughed it out, Artem. You can never never diss that. Like, he's tough as, but you can't say that he was anyway close in either of those fights now, really. Like, you know. Yeah, he stepped to a new level or he's gonna unfortunately be cut. That's just
he
the
was
way it
at the
now.
At the premiere of Notorious there last weekend, or this weekend just gone.
Yeah.
Where he seemed to suggest that he was expecting to get cut. It's like if it was anybody else that had lost a couple on the trot like him, he's like, yeah, I deserve to be cut. So maybe he's just politely asking for his way out. Would you think?
Well, I know I know from what I've seen of Artem that he's quite hard on himself at times, like, which we all are. Like, we're all hard on ourselves when it comes to losses. Like, all fighters are, like, but I think that he probably even feels like he needs to, you know, do something a take bit it differently.
Do you think he'll? Do you think the rumors about him getting into a boxing ring with Paulie Malignaggi would do anything?
No. I mean, just do something different. You know, you don't have to follow Conor doing everything. Yeah. Like.
My thing as well is there's so many shows now. Fair enough, there's the UFC, but like getting cut from the UFC isn't the worst thing in the world anymore. No.
Like he's still a very good fighter. Exactly. And there's so many good European promotions out there.
Dennis Seaver just signed with ACB. And then, you know, you've got obviously, like, say, Cage Warriors, Bama, you've got Bellator now. KSW is fucking huge. There's just loads of options. It's not like, because when we first started, like, the UFC was the pinnacle, it's the only place you could go. Whereas now there's so many organizations, like, we're, like, even us three, we're fighting in arenas like the Three Arena, the SSE Arena, places where the UFC used to only go. Mm. And all these big shows are coming over now. So, like, it's not the end of the road if you get cut by the UFC. Look at Reds or that.
I still think Artem could have a hard time against, like, because at the end of the day, like, it's not, like, realistically, outside of the marketing and the history of the UFC, like the depth of the other divisions outside of the UFC are just as dangerous as the UFC. There's some select fighters that you kind of go, yeah, they're the best in the world. Like some of the champs, like, of course. But when you look at the depths of some of the divisions, I mean, Artem wouldn't be going into any, like, he'd be thrown in out of one pool and into another. Totally. You know, it's like he goes into even Bama or Cage Warriors. There's a lot of guys there.
The talent of these is ridiculous. Like, I mean,
that's from the bottom up. Like, we're talking about the top level.
So I'd like to see Redzer and Artem again. I think Redzer would have his number, though, because of his wrestling and his style personally. And when Redzer had a win against Artem back in the amateur days, I was there that night, actually. One of the battle zones. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Around a while.
Well, with the mention of champs and divisions, UFC 217 this weekend gone through up 3 new champions.
Yeah, OMG. That was my favorite fight card of all time.
It was definitely one fight card that lived up to
phenomenal. But from the fight pass prelims the whole way to the end of the main card.
That's been an elbow from I can't remember a man's name, but he tried spin and he missed it, and then he did it directly after it and he landed it. I was like, man, that's sweet, like, you know.
Yeah, it was an unbelievable. Yeah. I only got to see one prelim, and I think there was the Joe Duffy fight.
But James Vick.
Yeah, I saw that fight. James Vick is tough, man.
He's very tough.
Yeah. But I saw all the main card fights. I think my favorite part about it is that everybody that got crowned new champion, they're all super good human beings, really nice people. And they're the type of champs you like to see, whereas in all the smack talkers just got sparked.
Yeah,
they did. Yeah,
it's nice to see. Really, like, sometimes the good guy won, you know. Yeah, good guys won that night, and that's it.
Yeah,
you know,
big time. It was, you could see how much it meant to one particular, you know, a TJ.
Yeah,
you could see. Did you see him at the end when it was stopped, and he just.
You could see it. I was torn because obviously I was over there. Do you know what I mean? And I think, you know, when you look from the outside in, you see all, like, what people show you, like, you know, YouTube videos, the Ultimate Fighter, all that, like. You kind of don't like Cody, don't you? Like, a lot of people, people I talk to.
That's the thing. I really like Cody as well, but he was just playing the character.
Exactly.
I like Cody as well, but I think that this whole thing with TJ leaving Alpha Male, I don't know the backstory to it, but no one else does either.
Yeah.
So I think people paint TJ with this bad brush, but at the end of the day, you don't know the situation.
Yeah.
Like, people are, see, Connor's words are like poison, you know. Words are a virus, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, because Connor says he's unloyal and he's a snake in the grass,
then
people just automatically believe it. You know what I mean? It's like, just because you say something doesn't mean that it's set in stone because you're an overpowering character.
Yeah.
Like, TJ is probably a really, really good person, great husband. I don't know if he is, because great father. He's a really good fighter. He's respectable after a win or a loss.
Yeah.
I mean, like, who knows what sort of situation he was in that arose that situation that he had to leave Alpha Male, like.
But
he could have been a dick after a fight as well, but he wasn't.
Yeah, but this is the thing, the respect between the two of them afterwards.
Both sides.
Cody was very respectful as well.
They might not get along anymore, but there's a respect. There's a fighter respect in that. Like, you know, I think that's good to see as well, because
that's what martial arts is all about.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. I was super happy to see. I don't like seeing anyone. I don't like being happy for anyone getting knocked out or stopped.
Yeah,
like, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But man, I was watching. I like watching the embeddeds because I like looking at how they're acting before and psychologically where they're at and where their training's going. And man, Joanna is just a complete bitch. Like, let's be straight. let's be straight about it. Like, I mean, fuck me. Like,
them,
you know, I know I touch on the narcissism thing every week. Like, but there are different champions. Are like, George isn't like that. No. Joanna is just the most extreme narcissist, in my opinion. Like, or she has very strong traits. Like, like she just is just beats you down and bullies you and mentally destroys you. And she doesn't care what limit she goes to either. No. Like, you know, she's
anything
like
necessary.
Bashing Pat Barry, the boyfriend, bashing the coach. It's fucking hell, Joanna.
And the mental
and
issues.
And then she does all the fucking the pre-fight thing and then she gets left hooked and sparked. I was like, ew.
Yeah, I was delighted for Rose as well. She's a lovely girl.
Yeah, but she's lovely. Like,
did you see Joanna said afterwards on the press conference, don't compare me to Ronda Rousey. Like, straight up. It was like, you know, as in like, because they were saying about like coming back and fighting again and all that, and I think she took the road that, like, obviously Ronda was undefeated for so long, and then she lost, and
she just has a chip on her shoulder. But, like,
who does,
like,
Joanna? Oh, she does, yeah.
Because if she had won, was she to tie Rousey, or would she have passed her out for? she would have went to
11, was it? Was it 11? And she said 11 she wanted to remain undefeated. She wanted to be, so. That's changed. And she said Thug Rose doesn't actually hit that hard. And you're like, well, you got sparked.
You're joking.
You got left there.
And she got tapped to the strike. She was like, okay, enough of them now.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Even though she says she
which
didn't.
She had since says, no, she didn't. She didn't tap. There was no
good. Clearly, like, shows.
Like, she's got serious issues. Like, she can't take responsibility.
Well, most people who are that good usually have those type of issues, though. You know what I mean? They're just so hard on themselves. They can't accept that a loss actually happened.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
but that's our first defeat.
Yeah. Mm.
And similarly, that's Cody's first pro defeat.
Yeah.
It was a crazy night, man.
I like that bantamweight division, though. I think there's a lot of good fights in that. Like, but I think Cruz, I think Cody and TJ are on another level to a lot of the other guys. I know Jimmy Rivera is kind of there. He's a tough guy, but I think those three, their styles, you could watch them all day. Like, you know what I mean?
That's gone as well from the end of the year.
Cruz did his arm. Yeah.
Who did?
Cruz.
He's always getting injured, man.
And this time, he's not his knee this time, you know what I mean? But it's a new injury. Do you know what I mean?
I think that I think that TJ had a really good call out at the end of his fight, though. He called out. But that was a smart call out. Because, like, look, he's the second time a champion now. He probably doesn't want to risk going in against Cody again. Yeah. It's a dangerous fight, totally, like, you know what I mean? Like, he fought, he's going down the route of getting the championship super fight.
Yeah.
And I think that's like the smart route everyone's going down now. Even Conor, like, he's like, Conor wins the championship. All right, super fight or boxing fight or next division, double champion. He's not even risking challenge defending the belt anymore. Like, it's literally like, and TJ took a leaflet out of that. Like, he was like,
why not stop the guy that's on a tear? Like, you know,
I think Mighty Mouse needs it more than TJ because he's just cleaned out that division.
Yeah,
I think the both of them just need to do it.
So I was looking at a video of Chael talking again, Chael Sonnen, and he was saying all the guys down in flyweight, they're just too nice. There's no bad guy down there, you know. And Mighty Mouse is a nice guy. There's no real interest in the flyweight division in terms of, like, you're not like. I remember Mighty Mouse headlined when I was on my honeymoon, and McGregor fought Poirier the night of the same fight.
Yeah.
And McGregor was, I think, third from the end, and Mighty Mouse the main event, and the arena had literally emptied for Mighty Mouse's fight against Chris Carriasso. And, you know, that tells you the pull power of, obviously, Conor.
Yeah.
Most people flew over from Ireland for that fight. But then, I'm not messing, like, the place was practically half full, like, half, you know what I mean, for a champion, like,
yeah,
Joe.
Yeah. And he has Sonnen in that division there.
he needs somebody, do you know what I mean? And I'm all excited about guys we have here. I see, you know, even young Owen Chilmoya, and that, I think he's got a really bright future.
Yeah, he does, yeah.
Like, certainly in flyweight division going forward, amateur, and then hopefully down the line sticks out and goes pro in that. But I think the flyweight division needs a young stud and a guy to come in and maybe just start giving a few verbals as well, like, you know, at Mighty Mouse to get some interest, because there's no, let's face it, there's no real fights from down there anymore. Do you know what I mean? And I think TJ, like I said, is doing a wise option there as well, because he could fight Cody, as he said on the fight, he could fight him 10 times. It could be like a 5-all kind of thing. Like, who lights him up first? Like, you know. Another minute, I think, in that first round, and Cody had TJ out there.
Yeah, just about.
You know, so it just shows that.
That's the
know.
Thing, you just get caught. Man.
Yeah, oh, it's MMA. Thing about the sport, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know?
That's it.
Jesus.
Well, somebody else who just got caught, Michael Bisping.
Oh, yeah.
Third round.
Oh, yeah, fuck.
GSP, man.
So, like you say, caught is instead there. So, no. Did I, didn't it?
No.
I didn't see that. I didn't see that coming. You.
I just seen a dominant performance. I predicted 5 rounds.
Yeah. I don't think GSP
looked fucked.
I thought he was tiring.
He did look tired. He did look tired. But he's carrying muscle mass that his frame doesn't carry usually. Yeah. You know, it's like, but still, man, after 4 years of being out, like, to come in and do that, I mean, fuck me. Like, Jesus.
I thought first round he looked brilliant. I was like, oh, man, this is unreal. Like, you know, he did that nice little Superman jab and he was moving around well. He was attacking a takedown. He got the takedown. I know Bisping got back up. But each round, you just saw Bisping coming out the exact same speed, tempo. He's getting more into it, the strikes. Even off his back in the third round when he cut GSP open, I thought, oh, this is it now because they can get back standing, which they did eventually. I was like, Bisping will probably pick him off. But obviously, George done a bit of work with Freddie.
Yeah.
And he landed that left hook, which Freddie asked him to throw.
Yeah.
And it was a proper
proper amateur kind of hook as well, wasn't it? Like, he didn't reel into it much. It literally just came, boom, short and sharp.
Shocked him. I think shocked Bisping. I think if you look at GSP's face, it shocked GSP. I think that he rocked him.
I really liked the setup to his rear naked choke, though. Yeah, that was lovely.
Yeah, yeah.
That was very nice. Setup to the rear naked.
It was perfectly
sneaky out.
But do you know what? I think that regardless of what GSP was saying before about Robert Whittaker and defending the title, I think he's going to go down the TJ route as well and the Conor route. I think he's going to go, right, won this belt back down to welter.
Yeah.
I don't think he's gonna.
This was just a challenge I wanted to do.
Yeah. And I hate bashing Michael Bisping. Like, well, he is a douchebag before fights, but he doesn't mean to be. Like, at the end of the day, that's just his persona in martial arts.
It's his mask.
After fights, he never has an excuse. He's very humble, like in his defeats. To be fair to him, but he's not the best of role models though either. Like, let's face it, either. Like, you know what I mean? He's a terrible role model, but I still don't think he's in the higher echelon when it comes to really threatening stylistic guys for George St. Pierre. Like, I think that Michael Bisping was a good fight for George St. Pierre as the champion.
I agree.
And I think that if he goes in against Robert Whittaker or Yoel Romero or Luke Rockhold or Jacare, I think he could have a tough time.
Oh, geez, he would have.
He'd have a tough time against those guys. And I think it makes sense to go from winning that to have nothing to lose to jumping down to Woodley.
Yeah, because, you know, it's like you said, this was an opportunity, or I wanted something different, or challenge myself. He's done that. Now he'll probably go back down to what he should go down.
Which is still a scary proposition with Woodley, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I mean, like,
that's what I mean. That's what I want to see, like, that fight.
Man, like that's scary.
And Woodley's got ridiculous takedown defense.
Takedown defense, got
his takedown defense,
power.
But he's not a liked champion at all.
No one likes him. Because of his style.
And he has a real don't give a shit attitude either.
But would he be really liked if he put GSP away at 170?
I mean,
he probably wouldn't be. No, everybody likes GSP. I don't think there's anything Woodley can do at this stage. He's just not a light champion.
I think that's just the way it is. Unfortunately,
it is just the way it is. Like,
he needs to drop all the way down to flyweight, become that bad guy, and then build himself back up.
But it's the truth, though. That is just the way it is. And
the super fight to make is hopefully down the line. I would love to see a McGregor v GSP fight. Just for a crack. Yeah. I would love to see that one made, but whether or not it happens, I don't know.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Stick around long enough. 2018 is a weird one. I'd say if you give GSP one more match and give McGregor one more match. There's rumour that he'll do 219 in December to close out the year.
Oh, yeah.
I think that the UFC would be willing to do any sort of mega fight at this stage.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Any type of mega fight. Anything.
We're actually on the brink of the Bama and Bellator tomorrow night. The weigh-ins were today.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And there's I think, well, I know for the Rhino lads, there's been a good few pullouts on that.
Yeah. I saw Smullen broke cracked ribs. So
Smullen is out. Who else is out?
McKee can't fight because his opponent pulled out.
His opponent pulled out.
McKee offered to step in to fight your man Barnett.
Yeah,
and Barnett said he wouldn't take it because he said he's had the flu this week.
Yeah.
He said he was going to fight. He was going to not pull out against Smullen. But with all that's happened now, he's pulling out. But maybe it's a little bit unfair on Reese there, maybe because I remember Reese gave Barnett the short notice opportunity when he was a bit fluey as well.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you had to look after yourself in this game. You know, I think maybe Barnett is being the smarter of the two here, because maybe if Reese wasn't 100%, he shouldn't have maybe risked that fight against Barnett. But he was coming in, I think Barnett was coming in at like 3-0. He'd fought 2 weeks before. He was kind of a bit of an unknown quantity. Yeah. Didn't know about him. And it took the risk and it maybe backfired a little bit. Whereas I'd say Barnett's thinking, nah, fuck this. I'm in Dublin here.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not the hometown guy. It's too risky to lose my belt here. So I think he's going to try and fight maybe in Newcastle. Is that the thought now?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. There's been quite a few pullouts for this card. It's been quite a few pullouts for this card. But Moyes was saying that it's kind of very similar to what happened in Belfast.
Yeah.
To when you were, your ribs.
I was meant to fight McKee.
Oh, yes.
I was meant to fight McKee. I messed up my ribs. Same injury as Richie. And Reese was sick on the night and Tim Barnett came in. Now Smullen's ribs are injured. Fucking Tim Barnett is sick. And now Reese wants to step in, but he ain't returning the favor.
Yeah.
It's like I fucking just... contagious.
It's a vicious cycle. Yeah. Wonder who's going to get fucking vertigo next
then. Jesus Christ. Stay the fuck away from me.
I wouldn't wish that on anybody now, to be honest.
Well, as a result, the Bama fight card.
What do we think of
it's,
that?
It's down to 5 fights.
Yeah.
So they'll all be on this Friday. We should have the podcast out before the fights go to air.
That'd be great.
Welterweight, Ion Pascu, Omar Jesus Santana.
Pascu was a powerful guy. He knocked out Fadib with that overhand right when he was on the ground. He put his head through the fucking canvas.
It was horrible. Hammer fist into the ground.
Yeah, it's a real pity about Henry Fadipe, because he just he's the definition of that quote, isn't he? Hard work is the greatest talent. Like, he has all the talent in the world, but there's just he's not part of the right team, I don't think. He hasn't really indulged himself in training with the top echelon of guys and pushing himself to travel anywhere to do it. I think that he has a lot more to offer, but he comes up against guys at level in Bama in that division, you're just going to get sparked, man. You're just in big trouble, you know.
Featherweight bout, Dylan Took, David Kalsa.
That's an interesting one. Obviously, Kalsa's kind of derailed a bit of hype because he beat Cowley convincingly when he took his back. He's not going to have that same opportunity, I don't think, against Took, because Took's a purple belt. Like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. I think this is definitely...
Is Dylan Took a purple belt?
Purple belt now, yeah. And in fairness, he's legit, because you saw him over in, was it Shinobi or somewhere, when he... Where he's got caught has been in his striking, for sure. He had very good striking.
His chin is up, his guard is down.
Yeah. So I think his last two fights now, the second last one, he won really well. He showed a lot of heart, but geez, he got rocked a lot. And then he got that rear naked choke. But then the last fight, your man Cameron Eltz, came out and just fucking sparked him early.
But this is where, sorry for interrupting you there, Andy, but this is where I feel like that sometimes the SBG camp can be... It's their biggest letdown and fall to have someone like Conor as the kind of the alpha dog in the gym and the leading athlete in the gym, because Dylan Took and your man Steve Owens, actually, when he lost to Domus McConnell, did you see that up the north? It's on Domus McConnell's page. Remember Domus McConnell? I went to fight him years ago after I fought Park on Cage Contender up the north. Remember, small little redhead fella who was leaving in a Australia for years. So he's tough as nails, not the nicest looking of records, he's 8-11 now or something like that, but he's tough as fuck, and Steve Owens is SBG prospect at welterweight, and Dylan Took is obviously an SBG kind of prospect to a degree, but the two of them have exact karate stances like Conor does, and they try and counter punch like Conor does as well, and they come up against two just no shits given brawlers, and they just get smashed. It just comes to show, you have to develop your own style, because if you're trying to totally mimic someone else's, everybody's different, everybody's unique in their own way.
You'll be figured out quicker as well.
Very, very quick. Jesus, these guys are just coming in wailing shots, and they've just gotten sparked. Simple.
It's an interesting one, because I think Kalsa, we probably don't really know his level yet because of who he's fought. Against Cowley, if you get him to the ground, you're going to have a bit of fun there. Like, it's going to be a really, really tough fight. And I don't really know what happened with his last fight. He was fighting a guy who had a very good amateur record and was kind of making his pro debut. Whereas this now is like a comeback for Dylan Tuklić, you know. So I'm intrigued to see how it goes. Kalsa's tough, there's no doubt about that. But
I say Dylan's been training hard.
Yeah, hungry.
Who else is on the Bama card?
135, Blaine O'Driscoll, Dominique Wooding.
Oh, yeah.
Good game for Blaine.
Yeah,
it's a nice fight, but Dominic,
he fought Andy Young.
Yeah, that was a tough enough fight. Well, like, it depends. Dominic Wooding looks like very, very talented, like, doesn't he? I think he took Andy Young for granted. Yeah. I think he took Andy Wood for granted that night, and I think that if he had his head screwed on a bit better, I think that fight could have been his. Yeah. But I think Andy Young is just mentally tough, and he's a jack of all trades, and he'll grind out a win if you give him an inch.
Yeah,
and I think he's very good at that. Like, and I like Andy Young. Yeah. I actually like his style. I like watching him fight as well. Yeah.
Well, he has a shot at the flyweight title against Daniel Berez. He was
the Portuguese guy. Is good. He beat Curtis, didn't he?
Yeah.
That was Curtis. The tail end of Bama 30 as well.
Yeah,
and then a main event: Richie Coyle, 2-0. Alex Lahore. 13-1.
I'm going to go Lahore TKO on that. I think I don't think he's going to engage too much on the feet. I think he's going to take that one to the ground, and I think he's just going to TKO him. Kickboxing is not enough to beat a guy who's 13-1.
Who do you think he'll win?
Richie Keeley versus your man Alex Lahore.
Well, look, I think everybody thinks that, and anyone with a bit of experience is going to know that. But at the end of the day, this is a crazy game. Like, you know, like you can have a novice coming in to spar you know. And the thing is about MMA that makes it different to jiu-jitsu and stuff like that is that in jiu-jitsu, if a black belt went up against a white belt, there's literally a 99.999999% chance the black belt's going to win. Like, the chances of, like, technique rules all.
Yes.
Whereas in MMA, like, a novice can come in and spar me, and he throw the most awkward overhand right that came all the way from all the way from Tipperary and just clock me, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that can happen. Like, so I wouldn't say Richie Coyle is going to lose, but his percentages are very low.
Okay.
Very, very low. I think that this guy is just 13-1 world champion. Psychologically, he's on a whole different level. I mean, no matter what shit talk Richie Coyle talks, like, this guy, like, has the confidence of being a champion and 13-1.
Yeah.
And he's going up against a 2-0 guy.
Yeah.
I think Bama are a little bit unfair even on the champion for doing this, really. Like, you know what I mean? I think that, like, you know, the champion should be fighting in his hometown and fighting against a more credible opponent. Like, I mean, this is a lose-lose for him. Like, yeah. I mean, what's Richie Coyle done for Bama that they need to babysit him and have the weigh-ins and SBG Tala and give him a world title shot? Like,
probably just sold enough tickets.
Yeah. But that's not a good judgment. Like, that's not the way the sport should be.
That's how I feel, Bama.
Like, if you think about it, like, of course, like, the champion's going to take it because he got offered the fight, so he's going to take it. And he's going to think, 2-0, easy. But it's a lose-lose. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's a completely... Like, if he loses to Richie Coyle, what's that going to... How much damage is that going to do to his record? Like, you're talking about coming back in about a 7 or 8 fight win streak after losing to a 2-0 guy from Ireland. Do you know what I mean?
But on the flip...
Well, not from Ireland. Like, obviously, we have one of the highest levels of MMA going. But I mean, like, as in, like,
just,
you know...
2-0 guy.
2-0 kind of smack talker, like, from the SBG camp. Like, you know what I mean?
On the flip side of that, though, do you think, like, Richie Coyle is, in fairness to him, this is looking on the positive side of what he's done personally. Like, is he 33 or 34? And it's like, he has to fast-track his career. Like, in fairness, I kind of respect him in the sense, like, I don't like what I'm seeing, but... When I kind of think about it, I'm like, okay, if he's 34, I think he's 33 or 34. I'm not totally sure. I'm sure Ken might be looking up there. I'm not sure, but he has to fast track his career. If he wants to get to somewhere like the UFC or that, you look at Cody Garbrandt, Uriah Faber said to him, you get to 5-0, I'll get you into UFC. I think if that's where he's hoping to go into the bigger shows, then maybe the idea of getting to 3-0, being a Bama world champion, it gets you a bit more scope. You know, maybe defend the belt once or twice, and then you're up there. But again, the problem for him is if he loses this fight, then the UFC, all them things, they're not going to happen. So it's a massive, massive fight for him as well.
It's a big risk, big rewards.
It's a risk reward fight. Yeah.
Versus I'm looking. Losers.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, because I think he is. I'm not totally sure, yeah, but I thought he was.
They do this. I can almost guarantee you this is the case. I'm probably completely wrong though, because Ken's looking at it. But they done this with Kiefer Crosby as well. He's
He was supposed to be on the card.
Yeah, he was supposed to be on the card. But Kiefer Crosby and Richie Kiley are quite old. They're 33, 34, so they don't have their ages up in Sheerdog.
Do they not? That makes
sense. No, they don't.
I was checking Tapology there, there's no mention.
Yeah,
so they don't want people knowing their age.
So I think that's where it comes from.
I think I'm going to do that move soon. Just get into that. When I hit the big 3-0, it's like, yo, shit, dog, motherfucker. take that shit down, man. Take it down. Yeah, shit.
Is that a thing? Are people concerned about their age? Would you be concerned about your age?
They shouldn't be in MMA. Well, I'm not concerned about mine.
What age was Neil Siri getting into?
He's 33, 34. Yeah. I think that it depends on your credentials, your performances. Yeah. I think it depends on your opportunities. Right. It depends on a lot of things. I feel like I'm just coming into my prime in my 30s. I feel like my whole 20s were just, you know, injuries and getting through things and practicing for my 30s. Yeah, I do actually feel like that. I think Kiefer Crosby and Richie Kiley are probably sure, look at them. They are in their prime in their 30s. I mean, people develop at different stages and different ages, you know.
Yeah. If we go back to Neil Siri, he made a really good point there. He was 33 or 34 getting into UFC.
He had a lot of experience.
But he had experience. But remember the one thing, how he got in though? Brad Pickett lost an opponent. It was a week or two out. And he jumped on that fight. I remember I sent you a video last night about that. It was that idea of Chael saying, how do you get into UFC? And he was saying, look, you'd be keeping an eye. If you're an active professional MMA fighter, keep an eye on some of the bigger shows and keep an eye on the pullouts at your weight. And if you stay ready and you literally say, be ready to fight at any stage and literally throw your name into that, and then they take you, pluck you from it, and then you perform.
Social media got involved
in
everything.
There you go. Do you know what I mean? I think Siri did that perfect as well. He was obviously, he had the experience behind him. He fought Brad Pickett. No one gave him a fucking chance. And he had
was he supposed to fight some ex-UFC guy at that point, and then he had pulled out.
Yeah, the Cage Warriors
won. Yeah, and then this opportunity
came. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And look, he took it with both hands, and the rest is history.
Well, I was had a chat with Andy. Well, Andy Ryan gave us an old ring there the last day, and we were having a discussion about it. And it is about, like, you know, sometimes it's just, you see some of the guys who are the highest. If you look at the Irish and UK rankings, MMA rankings, the best guys in the divisions aren't in the UFC. Like, there's a lot of guys that are in the UFC that are, like, way down, like, not even in, like, you know, in the top 10, some guys, you know what I mean? It's like, so it doesn't necessarily, like, and exactly what you said to me is exactly what Andy was saying to me, like, you know, it's like, you need to get, like, you know, active to the stage where you're of a tasty enough looking record and you're active all the time and you're ready to go, and someone pulls out and boom, you're in. It doesn't matter where you are, and it matters, and that exact, what you just said, Andy, being ready and being active and performing properly.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's look at Reza on Bellator now this weekend. He said, I think 2 weeks ago, he said that he's going to take a break. Well, by him taking a break, he means not fighting. He's still in the gym training, which obviously has been. And then the Bellator opportunity comes up, and now he's on Bellator. Like, it's fucking awesome.
I can't wait for that.
Oh, yeah. You're getting signed to Bellator now, aren't they?
Yeah, Bellator. Yeah. Sure, Decky Dalton was with them, and he had to pull out because of a dislocated elbow.
Oh, fuck. Yeah.
Brian Moore is with him. He's main eventing.
To speak at your level, Mick, they're your last two fucking fights, and the two boys now are fighting on Bellator.
Sure,
like, it just shows our level. Like, do you know what I mean? Sometimes you have to take a step back, but, like, you know what? Fuck, I'm that fucking good. Like, it's a cracking fight. Do you know what I mean? The Moore fight was a great fight as well. Just a shame that the ribs were injured in that as well. Like, you know, but sometimes, as I talk about with Rich, it's having confidence in your own ability and realizing sometimes.
Wait, now. Sorry. Good. I don't mean to cut across you. Yeah. Decky Dalton is still down on the card, or is he gone from the card?
He's gone from it. I'd say they just haven't updated it. He's done his elbow.
I see on Facebook his elbow is fucked.
It must be injured not to be on a fight. he's a tough guy.
Oh, geez, Charlie Ward, John Redmond are coming.
Are they?
Just John is really up for that, lads. I was talking to him the other day. Man. He's really up for it.
I fucking tell you, Jimmy. Yeah, fucking great camp. He's fucking flying.
He's fucking loving it.
Yeah, yeah. Johnny, he catches anyone with his overhand right, lads, and you're in trouble.
I just hope he goes out, and I really hope, because you look at Johnny's, obviously, his last couple of MMA fights, he's won his last two by KO, with the right hand. Charlie's lost his last two by KO. So if Johnny just goes in with a bit of confidence, get them straight hands going early. Because I think maybe Charlie's thinking, oh, this might be an easy fight or whatever, blah, blah, coming out of the UFC.
Well, I don't.
And I tell you now, like, if John can just go out and take center and land some nice shots early, it can put a bit of doubt into Charlie's head as well. So I think it's going
to
be interesting.
I think that if it's I think that Charlie would be wise to take John down.
Yeah.
I think if it stands, then John is more than likely, he could catch him and he could knock him the fuck out.
Charlie's got that big looping like, left hook as like, well, that whining I mean, fucking hook.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, that, he does like, I mean, there's always, but Charlie's like a, you know, like lovely fella and all, but he's a pavy. He loves to swing, loves to bang.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, you know, he could get lured into a 50-50, you know what I mean?
Could make a Glenn Irvin, fucking John Redmond just stand in the center and just bang away one. Swing it up. Yeah, that would be
interesting. Who else is on the card?
Kevin Ferguson Jr., Fred Freeman, Kimbo Slice.
Kimbo's young, son. Oh, young lad.
Yeah. Kimbo Slice.
Sinead Kavanagh, Maria Casanova.
Yeah, I don't know much about who she's fighting out, to be honest.
You've got Redzer and Sergio Diaz Santos.
It's a bit of an unknown quantity, that guy Redzer's fighting, isn't he? I think he's 4-6. You can only fight what's got in front of you. But it's kind of like, it's a dangerous fight too, because Redzer's obviously had some cracking fights his last five. This guy's a bit unknown, like, isn't he? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's kind
I think this is a very tough fight for Ryan Moore.
Oh, big time. But I think on the other side as well, I think it's a tough fight for Adrian McKee coming across internationally. He's coming in with, is it 9-0 his record? All KO finishes. Brian is a tough cunt, like,
he is,
you know,
tough,
so
Brian,
it's going to be interesting because he's durable. So
he's durable. He might just get dominated.
I do think that Brian's a little bit small for a featherweight as well, though. Like, it depends. I don't know how big this other guy is, like, but I always found that Brian would
five
be like
foot
a better.
Ten.
Brian has fought lighter before.
He went lighter when he fought in was it Bahrain or something like that?
Yeah, he fought over.
And he said, I remember looking at an interview afterwards. He said, I'm never doing that ever again. Like, just the weight wasn't right at all in terms of like how his body felt.
Oh,
we've talked about that, me and you, Mick, because I've always said.
No,
I didn't have to get in the sauna for 66 the last one, but I was like, you know, but that 61 is a big drop.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't have a tough cut anytime I cut to 65.8, but I mean, I just feel at my strongest at that weight.
Yeah, yeah.
At my slickest, at my quickest, whatever. I feel like my brain is working the way it should be as well.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's not Weight Watchers at the end of the day.
No,
you have to go and fight the next day.
I think
my
focus will go on losing that weight rather than the actual fight itself, which is shouldn't be the case.
No. And it's like what we said about the last podcast when there's that fighter nearly fucking at death's door on the scales. There's no point being that way.
No.
Like, do you know what I mean?
That's great, man.
But, what is that little chin wag? What are we looking at here, lads? What's this?
Checking the AJ McKee's last opponent, which is 10-7. So similar enough record to Brian's. Yeah. Similar enough.
What's Brian, 10-5?
10-5, yeah.
Something along those
lines. Well, that's a good record, like, I mean. Yeah. You know, that's a good record. Like, I mean, Brian's fought a lot of very tough guys as well. You have to take that into consideration. He's fought a lot of tough guys. But, you know, it's because of Brian's jack-of-all-trades kind of style. You know, he's not particularly dangerous in any area.
No,
like, the danger is from Brian is his ground and pound.
Yeah,
he has good ground and pound. If he gets on top of you and you let him rain, he's going to rain hard and he could hurt you. But other than that, like you know, AJ has a significant advantage in the fee.
Yeah.
You know, because he's not particularly dangerous really with many positions. He's not a submission artist either, Brian, like, you know.
Yeah. Is it a 3-round fight or is it a 5 main event Bellator?
It'd be nice if it was a 5.
Yeah, because that's what I'm
I don't know.
I think they've moved it to 5.
Is it 5x5?
Is it a title fight though?
No.
Would it be all main events and title fights, or is it just title fights 5 rounds?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Obviously, UFC whatever.
They
main
were
event,
one of
the
last.
Fights, but to
adopt.
Yeah. Not sure. That could be interesting as well, like, you know, because, like I said, Brian's durable, so he could stick in there for 5 rounds, just keep going. So,
interesting.
It's a good card, in fairness, isn't it? It's interesting. From our standpoint, looking at some of the guys on radars and that, it's like, okay, I guess even with the fact Bellator coming over here now doing these shows, so it opens doors for a lot of fighters. Like.
I still don't think though that I think they should have put Redzer instead of Brian though.
I know.
Like, not just because he's from Team Rhino, but like
he's been to the UFC.
He's been in the UFC. He's been on a roll lately. He's consistently. on main cards of every
promotion.
And
he's fought top fighters the last few fights.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, look, there's no taking away from Brian. Like, of course, I take the same opportunity. Like, and he's a good fighter. Like, but I mean, compare him to Redzer, like, there is no comparison. Like, I think if you stuck Redzer in against AJ McKee, and then now you're talking about a really close, tough fight.
But I think
it is against Brian, but I just think that AJ has the edge.
Yeah, I think with Redzer's case, unless I don't know the ins and outs, but unless things have changed, and going back to an interview I'd seen over the summer where it had suggested that he had one fight left under his contract with Bama. And because this is a co-promoted event, would you imagine that's that fight? And if he comes through this one, that he's
signed with Bellator, It'd be interesting, wouldn't it? He's certainly that level. I believe he should be fighting on them shows. I seen a thing this morning.
Sorry to cut across. Yeah. I seen a link on Facebook this morning that he's Redzer is open to a long contract.
Oh, the, yeah, that BT Carroll had it on MMA. Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm not surprised if he was, like, because Redzer is, like, you know.
Legit.
But Redzer's legit in competition as well. Like, I mean, like, anyway. Like he doesn't just do it in the gym. Like, he competes quite regularly. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean. And he keeps himself in shape. And he's always competing and competing well.
Yeah.
You know. So I think that Bellator would be crazy not to give him a contract really. And I think that I do honestly feel like, not being biased because he's my teammate, that he should be main event and not Brian, because like, Redzer's worked his way to be at that level, to be at that spot. Like. Yeah. For sure, like, of course he has. Like, I mean, it's not, they're just credentials. Write it down on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like saying that I'm more deserving. Like, I'm not, like, because I'm not as active.
Exactly.
Redzer is. He's very active, like, and he performs as well in the under the lights in competition. So, like, if you compare it to Brian's, then it's like, there is no comparison. He should be there in the main event. Like, he should be competing.
This will be his fourth fight this year.
Yeah, like, that's crazy active. Like, you know what I mean? And active against top-level opponents. Like, I think he could beat AJ McKee, to be honest. I think he'd take him down and just grind him out. He has a real horrible style, like, man. You know what I mean? As in, like, he fucking pushes you up against that fence and you're just, the wind goes out of you.
It's the worst. It's the most horrible spar.
Yeah, and like, and then you have to be careful when he takes you down with your feet. So you have to be like wrestling feet, and then like,
man, and it's just like constant pressure. And then when you're on the feet, even, man, he doesn't stop coming forward as well. It's just fuck.
Then you clinch, yeah, man.
That's the way it is. That's the way it is. It's very good, like,
I want to go back to, I think it was 2 weeks ago. Was it 2 weeks ago when Owen was fighting on Cage Legacy?
Owen Shalmaya.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. That's our first win for the club now. First MMA fight, first win.
First amateur MMA fight.
Yeah, another one coming up now on 25th November.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Owen. I talk very highly of the guy.
Yeah.
I know his family from when I used to work in a gym in Carlow.
Yeah.
And used to be members there. And he's just a real true martial artist. He's been involved in karate, boxing since very, very young. But the thing I like about him is that he's very respectful. He's just a nice guy.
Yeah.
I brought him up to Rhino with me last Saturday for wrestling.
Yeah.
And the guy was killing guys there that have far more experience than him. But he's so respectful with guys. He doesn't walk around like a fucking King Ding-a-ling here.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't be all over social media flaunting shit and that. He's just really a humble guy. And I think you've done a great job transitioning from that kind of boxing and karate style to I couldn't get over his wrestling the other day. I was like, man, he's super strong for his weight.
He's a very fast learner, you know. Yes, he's taking everything in like a sponge.
Yeah.
If anything, what you need to do with Owen is slow him down. Some athletes don't need they don't need to be changed. They just need guidance. You know what I mean? Like, Owen just needs a little bit of guidance. You know what I mean?
That's all.
He just needs to be slowed down and make him think about things that he does, and then let him away with it. Then, you know.
Well, he's constantly trying to.
He trains like a professional athlete. Like, I mean, that's just the way it is.
I go back to when I started this sport, right? And I think of when I started this sport and now when Owen is starting this sport, right? All I had was my middle distance running background, right? And then when I started the sport, I was training at a gym. Lovely guys, great guys. We all just learned together. We didn't have any guys like...
There's no head instructor.
That you fucking fought multiple times in MMA professionally. You've been there, done it, fought in the big shows. So these young guys coming through, the likes of Owen and any of the younger guys that are on the mat training now, have you guys to work with. You got Killian there for Strength and Condition. We're doing a podcast now, which is pretty cool. Like, you know, so we're getting stuff out there. You've got, say, obviously Richard Shanahan with sports psychology. You know, we can get a nutrition sorted. It's just a totally different setup. So all you have to do is turn up and you're going to learn.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And that's what I mean about his mindset from what I see on the outside in. Traveling in, his dad is great. Mike, a lovely man. Brings him in and, like, you know, 6 a.m. in the morning. That's a trip. Like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. I know how hard it is because I travel myself, like, the hour. Yeah. Like, he's getting lifts. You know, he's turning up. And
that's the thing.
Like, that's just to have that support network and then to want to go and do stuff, to be, you know, having the knowledge that he has of the sport. It's fantastic, but then it's great that he's got such good guys to learn from and then such great teammates around him then as well that are also turning up at 6 a.m. Like, so Paul Nolan's going to be fighting now soon on Celtic Gladiator, is it? Is that what he's on?
Yeah, 25th, you know what I mean? So, of this month.
Because they're in around the same weight, so it's great having good training partners to work and drill with.
Yeah, they're like, they've been training closely together every morning since we started this in April. So
when you have good bodies, like even before this session today, there's me, you, and... Ryan, just drilling, and when you have a good partner to drill with, it just makes things so much easier, doesn't it? You're not hurting one another, you're just getting your position.
You just get on with it, like, you know the crack, you get into that flowy drilling thing, or whatever it is you were doing this morning, you were drilling quite high intensively.
But the other thing was, like, that show that Owen won on, that was a pretty big show for your amateur debut, and then to be the guy from, like, Roddy's gym, like, and not to just go in, what I was really impressed with was, he didn't go in and just knock him out, you know, in the first round. He's got a really good box.
That guy to the ground.
Yeah, that guy's a blue belt. Do you know what I mean? So that tells a lot. And it's great to get that experience early, to get 3 rounds under your belt where you get that horrible, you know, red face, shortness, breath, and a sweat, that like 1 minute recovery in their corner where having to listen to you, try and get over that adrenaline dump from that first round and then put the next 2 rounds together and stay in the fight then as well. I was really impressed with it.
I was very proud of him as well. He did a great job. Yeah. For his very first amateur fight.
Totally, because, you know, like I said, when I look even on the pro scene, I see Keen Cowley now, for example, right, a phenomenal striker, had a fantastic, obviously, Muay Thai game, but he's kind of struggled coming into the pro game in MMA because, in fairness to him, it's been unfortunate for him because he's not got a super ground game. And people just taking him down and keeping him there.
I think he should have fought for amateur for a lot longer. I just think he was rushed
because of his striking. So it was a really tough one for him then as well. People were afraid to fight an amateur. Yeah. You know, certain fellas sitting down on his couch actually took that fight 70. So I throw that out there. I was going to take him then. Obviously, the fight didn't happen. I got Smullen instead.
I was like, when did I fight him? sorry.
It didn't happen because of the. I think he got injured in fairness.
I think he just rushed it. Rushed it.
It's a tough one for him because, like I said, no one probably would fight him at amateur. Or a lot of guys wouldn't anyway because of fear of the striking element. And then, you know, at pro, people just take him down straight away. And so it's a really tough one now. Whereas, like I said, Owen, on the other hand, is coming in early and young and fresh with a lot of experience martial arts wise behind him. And he's just really, like, putting a gi on, doing all his jits and shit in this, like, learn and develop, and I think the amateur game is a great way to learn your trade in all aspects of the sport, not just striking.
Absolutely.
Like I said, if you just went in and boxed with a guy and wins all his amateur fights boxing, he's never been taken down, never had anyone on top of you heavy, when you're fucking tired, it's not a nice place to be. So amateur is a great place to be, and he's got a good guy in with you guys, you know.
Yeah, it was very
fun. That's
a good night.
Yeah.
My
take.
Well, that's what I gotta say.
How does it feel to be back at I hear you're like a full-time jiu-jitsu practitioner.
Man,
these days.
I'm not going to lie.
I didn't see that gi in there today.
I've seen it like twice in the last week.
The gi is in the car, lads. It's actually there. It is there. And to be totally honest, I'm just loving being back on the mat and that. But it's great getting all the drilling done. And like, for me, I'm really just trying to update my, as take from Kevin and Connor, is like, update the software without damaging the hardware at the minute. It's just really getting thinking, like, you know, and we did our wrestling drill there yesterday where it was like a horrible little bad at the end where you're just constantly getting taken down. You're taking down your partner then as well. 20 on 10 rest, bang, 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 bang. Similar to what we did in Rhino, the time I got very dizzy afterwards. And I did that yesterday and, you know, came through it grand. The cardio was all there. Like, you know, I feel good cardio-wise. Yeah. Now it's all about just getting back, getting the time and done, the action, reaction, and building the confidence before Christmas. And then hopefully kick on then 2018, like, you know. That's my plan at the minute.
For sure.
It's awesome being back in and actually you know, being in good form.
It's good to see you back.
Excellent.
Yeah.
For sure.
Good crack.
You're flying a mongrel.
What do we... Flying a galah. What's another topic that we said we were going to touch on?
Women's BJJ.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, there is that.
Yeah.
Women, I can't believe that
we
goes
said
right,
that
yeah,
at the very start as well.
I know, and then completely we skipped over it.
Gangst. and then we went like Andre Feely and Lobov straight away.
What did we skip?
Fuck Gangst.
Okay, Darren Till and Cowboy.
Yeah.
I'm going right back to the start. Yeah. Or Cowboy just.
Oh, we literally just skipped that.
Yeah.
If we talk about it for ages.
Darren Till is.
Let's
like,
forget the last Aaron ever happened. Yeah.
Darren Till's legit. That's all we know now.
Yeah,
he is legit.
He is
like,
legit. Yeah.
Wonderboy doesn't even want. I don't care what he said. Wonderboy don't want to fight him. And I understand that. But like. He's just a tough cunt, and then his psychology. I love looking at his psychology. He's like, "I am the greatest fighter." That's a shit scout.
I'm the greatest fighter.
He's like, "I am the best." Like, you know, you can see he truly believes it. Like, then go and do what he did to Cerrone. It was just fucking
man. He's a big welterweight as well.
Yeah, man,
and he hits very hard.
Wonderboy, like I was
he's
talking
15 about, and 0, and he's something like he never lost in kickboxing.
Yeah, I was talking to my manager at work, John Windle, about this, and he was like, you know, he's in Muay Thai and all that. But I was having a good chat with Johnny. He says, you know, Wonderboy, he's getting a bit bored. I don't know, maybe a little bit boring to watch, maybe lately that, or maybe it's the style of fighter he is.
I think
he needs someone like a Darren Till that does not give a bollocks, like just to walk in and kind of really hunt him down. Do you know what I mean?
Darren Till is a very, very risky fight for Wonderboy.
Totally is.
Because he's like, he's only really kind of breaking into the top 10 now through the Cerrone fight, and he's very dangerous striker.
He was unranked before Cowboy, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And he gets Wonderboy, potentially, who's ranked number 2.
I think it's the fight to do. I really think that is the fight to make. It's stylistically, it's just intriguing.
It could be a clash of styles, though. Two of them are very similar standing. Like, I think it could be a lot of. But Darren Till is going to come forward.
I was wondering why 57-0 kickboxing.
Do you think someone just needs to come in and really kick that front leg off Wonderboy? Like, do you know the way
he's in and out very fast.
He can see them coming a mile.
Yeah, yeah.
I think someone would have utilized that by now.
That's what I'm wondering. No, I don't know. Just when I watch him,
studied it enough.
Could someone go in and nail him quick? Who's got quick leg kicks there? I don't know.
I think Till could be a tough fight for him, though. I think Till can be a tough fight for actually anybody in the division. I think he's very good.
Yeah.
He's very bulky looking for set. Well, I think Cerrone has just this thing of he just like when he comes up against any sort of shit talker that he just mentally breaks. He lost to 3 shit talkers that I can think of over the last couple of years. Yeah. And they're the only ones that are really big shit talkers. And it was Jorge Masvidal, Darren Till and Nate Diaz. And they're all smack talkers.
I thought for that Nate Diaz fight, again, to come back to leg kicks, you know, Cerrone should have been chopping them legs.
Oh, just big time, man.
All day, you know, just chop them legs all day.
Yeah, but when he chopped a leg a few times, he just got stopped and slapped every time, didn't he? I think he got more demoralized by that than he did, you know, by damaging with the leg kicks.
Like I'm on the Bake Off here, mate. 3 minutes, bakers. 3 minutes. I'm the star baker today.
Yeah. Well,
whatever Andy watches on the weekend.
On that note, Andy there women's BJJ only kicked off.
Yes,
or women's only BJJ.
Women's only BJJ. Yeah, kicked off.
Great turnout.
Tuesday night.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome turnout. Yeah, it was really cool.
Really, there was 9 in total.
Where have they all been hiding?
Exactly my point. You know, we did have to, you know, convince one or two of them beforehand, but yes, they all came in. I think we'll get one or two more as well. I don't think it's just that.
Yeah. I think it's one of the rare combat sports that girls could really embrace and love. Like,
yeah,
but I think
absolutely.
They just need to give it a chance. They need to get over a few of the hockey bits that jiu-jitsu might present, like being super close to people and stuff like that.
And
like,
that's the biggest factor.
I think that's the biggest factor. Like, and at the end of the day, like, the atmosphere here is very friendly, and the girls here, Annette and Emer, are super friendly, and they're great. Like, they're very welcoming as well. Like, they've really embraced the jiu-jitsu lifestyle, and their lives are so much better for it. Like, you can see it. Like, they're just happier people because of jiu-jitsu. And I think that it's one of the rare combat sports that could really say that women could fall in love with and make a part of their life. Like, so
it'd be great
to see and get over that little look, because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what you start.
Yeah.
There's always going to be things that you do and you don't like about it. It's about just persevering and seeing the positives in every situation.
And they will think back, say they do overcome all the stuff like that that comes with it, and they'll think back months later thinking, what was the big deal?
But that's always the case, isn't it? It's like, you know, why did I date that crazy bitch from 5 years ago? That's like, everybody thinks that shit. Like,
oh, shit.
But there was a great atmosphere with them all. It was a great atmosphere with them all here. We did a good warm-up with a game, and then did some basic techniques, and one or two rolls at the end, so they all seem to enjoy it. So from now on,
by the end of it, they were like, "You fucking bitch!" You pull it to a proper cat fight. Come on!
It was on at 7:30, but it's going to be on from 7 from next week onwards.
Okay,
because I want to get the hour and a half.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah.
Okay, we've 60 seconds on the clock. You have a seminar coming up next weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Andy Ryan's.
Just to remind you.
Thank you.
Andy Ryan's seminar next Saturday, isn't it?
Next Saturday, 12 o'clock. Yeah.
The 18th.
Isn't
it? Yeah. Whatever.
Andy Ryan's seminar at 12, is it?
12 o'clock.
Anyone can come. It doesn't have to be club only.
Anyone can invite you.
Yeah. So €20 per person.
Yeah, that'd be great.
But it'd be good. It's always a good seminar when Andy comes up.
It's in the gee, isn't it?
It's in the gee.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Can't wait to get my brown belt.
I'll just skip it back here.
I think Andy's.
I've one in the car.
Andy has a bot and all. Just expecting it.
He has his
engraved.
Name. Engraved.
Angry.
Angry Andy.
little brown Gucci belt. More like.
See Andy in his teaching his spinning classes in his brown belt.
Yeah. I actually have a spinning.
Let's go, Carl. Yeah. Who's the fuck?
Like that American, what's that? Those lad that does those funny videos. America, Cudor, whatever the fuck it's called.
Miles, whatever you watch. Whatever you watch at night.
You guys, you get it.
You get. You know why I'm wearing
the brown
belt?
You know the videos.
Yeah, I know the one. Yeah.
Well, why didn't you say it?
I can't think of the show.
I know. Sure, that's where I am.
Oh, here we are talking Dublin again. So we are for Dublin.
Every time.
Every fucking time.
We're like
time.
60 seconds from the end of the podcast.
Oh, we nearly got there.
Into fucking chaos.
We nearly got there.
So we're done. Any closing statements?
Nope.
No. Looking forward to next time.
Yeah.
For sure. Plenty to talk about as always, guys. And
next day we'll be talking about.
Remember anybody that wants to
and
come in
afterwards.
Do a free class in Team Rhino Kilkenny. Call in, free class, and if you want to come along and just spectate this seminar even next week, just call in. We might even have some finger food.
See what it's all about.
That'll be great.
Nice, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right.
Sure.
Until
nice.
Next time.
Nice.
Okay.
Nice. Until next time.
Good night. God bless.
God bless.
Take care now.
God
bye bless. Bye then. Okay, bye bye.